If you're in a state of gratitude, it makes total sense. Then you will accept, believe, and surrender the thoughts that are equal to that emotional state. And you could actually program your autonomic nervous system to make the pharmacy of chemicals that causes growth and repair to happen in the body. When people understand what they're doing and they understand why they're doing it, the how gets easier.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness. Welcome to this special masterclass. We've brought some of the top experts in the world to help you unlock the power of your life through this specific theme today. It's going to be powerful, so let's go ahead and dive in.
I promise you, start giving, start feeling grateful. And then start practicing feeling gratitude. Teach your body, just for 15 minutes a day, what it would like to feel gratitude, what it would be like. And our data shows that you take someone to do that for 4 days, three times a day, they make a immunoglobulin called immunoglobulin A. It's your body's natural flu shot. It's the greatest immune chemical we have. 50% increase. In the subjects we studied in 4 days. Immunoglobulin A, up 50% in 4 days. Where is that chemistry coming from? They're not taking anything. It's coming from within them, right?
No supplements, no injections, nothing. No topicals.
No. Just their bodies, their just autonomic nervous system is manufacturing a pharmacy of chemicals that's causing an immunity to the body.
Wow.
Right? So now a person practices feeling gratitude, okay? What is the emotional signature of gratitude? When you receive something, or you just receive something, when something wonderful happened to you or something wonderful is happening to you, you feel grateful.
Yes.
So the emotional signature of gratitude is something just wonderful happened, or
right,
something is
it's
happening
joyful,
to me.
It's, yeah,
but
exciting,
you're in a state of receivership.
Yes.
You've just received something, right? So the emotional signature of gratitude is received. Right? So now, if you're in a state of gratitude, it makes total sense. Then you will accept, believe, and surrender the thoughts that are equal to that emotional state. And you could actually program your autonomic nervous system to make the pharmacy of chemicals that causes growth and repair to happen in the body.
Wow.
And that's exactly what we're discovering. So then when people understand what they're doing and they understand why they're doing it, the how gets easier.
Hmm.
So you can assign meaning to the task and switch on the prefrontal cortex. And when you switch on that prefrontal cortex, it wants to get an outcome. It doesn't want to mess around. It wants the outcome. You're doing it for the outcome. And that's kind of a strong intention and a change in energy or an emotional state. And that's changing your state of being.
Mm.
And when you change your state of being like that every day, get ready. Because you're going to start having synchronicities and opportunities and coincidences and weird things start happening in your life to prove to you that you're actually the creator of your life instead of the victim of your life.
Absolutely. Gosh, there's so much I want to unpack here. One of them is, you mentioned something around 75 to 90% of people go into the doctor's office and it's based on an emotional imbalance that probably causes or influences them to be there, right? They might feel physical pain, but it's based on an emotional state that they've been in for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That gets
and a host of bad choices that may go with that.
But a lot of it is emotional
mm-hmm.
as a baseline.
That's exactly correct.
You talked about frequency, we talked about emotional signatures, and we talked about identity and personality. When I went to your advanced 7-day experience, when I went there, you had an entire, probably a few hour explanation about frequencies and energies. The highest level frequency where we could be at to allow us to feel more abundant and peaceful and have balance and harmony, to lower level frequencies that are going to cause us to feel more stress and anger and, you know, feel like we're in constant breakdown, right? And the higher the frequency we get to, the more conscious we are. The lower the frequency, the more unconscious we are. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing, you know, hours of research and science that you teach during this. What is the lowest level of emotion that will keep us stuck in a non-receivership, a non-abundant mentality and state, and a place of pain, versus the highest level of emotion that we could be in more frequently that'll allow us to feel more peace and in harmony in our health, but also in our life? What are those two opposite emotions?
Mm. Okay. I just want to finish the last thought about physical, chemical, and emotional stress.
And then I want to answer that.
So if you're truly interested then in sustaining homeostasis and balance, then you're going to have to self-regulate.
Yes.
And it would be wonderful. And we're working, we have this new program called the Inner Health Coalition, because we've had so many doctors, so many researchers, so many healthcare providers come through our events. Many of them heal themselves from all kinds of health conditions, from spinal cord injuries to stage 4 cancers, that really just want to really look to see how this model could actually fit in their clinic. And there's got to be a different conversation that can happen around health, because chronic health conditions are created from a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't change your lifestyle, nothing is going to change, because nothing changes in our life until we change. So then, if then you would go to a practitioner where you could actually practice brain and heart coherence, which is our formula.
Mm-hmm.
Get your brain feeling those elevated emotions, get your heart feeling those elevated emotions, and then get your brain coherent and do the exercises to get your brain and body back into regulation, into homeostasis. And then the key element is not that you react. I mean, who doesn't react? The question is—
You're perfect, Dr. Joe. You never react, right?
Yeah. The question is how long? How long are you going to do that for? I mean, if you keep it going on, then it must be an addiction, because an addiction is something you think you can't stop.
Mm.
Or knowing something isn't good for you and you do it anyway. That's when you know you're addicted, right? So then get the patient to really work on the emotional states that are keeping them and their body in the past.
But it's so hard for people, I feel like, right?
Yeah, because up until recently, there haven't been a whole lot of scientifically proven formulas or ways to teach people how to do that. People by nature want to get over their emotional state. They've just been hypnotized. They've been programmed. They've been conditioned into using something outside of them to take away this feeling inside
of
them.
To numb the pain.
Yeah, to it's nothing wrong
distract,
with this.
Distract, numb.
But you could, you know, you could go watch a movie, or you know, you can do this, you can do that, you can do all these different things, go out to dinner, just to make the feeling away. But the problem is, the feeling always comes back.
You're right.
And so now when the person reaches that point where they're saying nothing's making this feeling go away, this is game time. This is where the person's not responding to texts any longer.
Right.
They don't want to go to dinner with the same people. They don't want to do the same things. They don't watch the same TV show. They want to get on the computer any longer. This feeling is disturbing them. Nothing's making it, no drug, no shopping spree, no sports car, nothing's making this feeling go away. This is a key moment, right? Because now the person is going to start to realize that no one or nothing in their life is going to make this feeling go away but them.
Right.
And this is the key moment. This is where the person really decides to change. This is because they can see themselves for the first time because they no longer feel like themselves. They're no longer distracted by that. They can see how they think. They can notice how they've been acting and decide, oh my God, I don't want to do that anymore. The choices they've made or experiences they just want to no longer do, and the feelings that they no longer want to feel, right? And they start breaking their emotional agreements with everybody and everything in their life, and people really get worried because they're no longer predictable. They're not showing up as the memory of themselves, right? So what do? You medicate them, the person's depressed, you know, they're in a midlife crisis, but really it's the soul saying there's a future, and you may not know what it is. You can't go back to that.
Right.
You just can't go back any longer. You can't. You already know. You can predict everything that's going to happen. You got to start saying no, or you got to start looking deep, or you got to start changing. And this is where it's so important for people then to understand that this is not a bad thing. This is actually a good thing. It just doesn't feel good any longer because you're ready to change, right? So this is what we should be naturally doing. So when the person says, oh my God, I want to feel something else in my life than this. Okay, I'm going to watch how I respond to my coworker. I'm going to watch how I respond to my own thoughts. When did I default today and return back to the old self? And they get really serious about looking closely at how they can change the way they think, act, and feel. And we have so many testimonials of people that were diagnosed with chronic health conditions, and they got themselves in their meditations back into elevated emotional states and changed their energy and changed their frequency. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But then they get up from their meditation and they spend the next 15 hours in fear and frustration.
Why is that though?
Because they went unconscious, they defaulted. So you got to get so good at doing it with your eyes closed, you got to start doing it with your eyes open.
Oh man.
And that's the big game. That is the game, right? Because this is the plane of demonstration. You got to demonstrate now. So you got to start, that's why the walking meditations are so important in our work, because you got to walk as it. If you're going to be relaxed in your heart and awake in your brain, you better do it with your eyes open. So let's practice with
our
eyes.
There's
no other way to do it. You want to get so good at it that you can do it in the most adverse situations. That's, you know, when you own it, right? So then the person then realized that she had to watch her response to her ex. She had to watch her response to her bank account. She had to watch her response to the news. All of those things, she didn't, no drug, no surgery, no chemo, no radiation, no diet, no supplements were taking her health condition away until she realized I had to change, right? Uh-huh. So now she noticed doing her meditations, her pain levels went down. She noticed she was sleeping better. She noticed she had more energy, but her values for that health condition were still the same. And she said, it's not that this doesn't work. She wasn't doing her meditations any longer to heal. She was doing her meditations to change.
Mm.
And so then she'd say, okay, what do I want to believe today? What thought do I want to fire and wire in my brain? Let me remember it. I got to keep remembering so I don't forget to think this way. And a belief is just a thought you keep thinking over and over again. So she wanted to hardwire that in her brain. She wanted that to be a new voice in her head.
Because thoughts that wire together.
Fire together and wire together, right? So then how am I going to behave? Closing your eyes and rehearsing how you're going to be with your ex. And literally think there's got to be another way to be. I can't respond the way I have responded. It's only weakening me. I've got to change my state. Okay, I'm going to be loving. Let me rehearse it. Mental rehearsal. If you keep doing it, rehearsing yourself in the scene, planning your behaviors, your brain will look like you already did it.
Mm.
And if you keep doing it, it's going to become more automatic. It's going to become like a software program. So the brain looks like the experience has already happened. And now you have hardware and software in place to use when you're with your ex, because you installed it, right?
Right.
So now you're doing the meditation to remind yourself who you no longer want to be and remind yourself who you do want to be. So now, okay, the person's now behaves that way, and now her response to her ex is different. Evolution that day, and the body's no longer brought back to the past, and she does it once and she wants to do it again. She wants to get better at it, and she starts healing. And she says, I got to stay in this emotional state. I don't care who it is or what it is. Let me close my eyes. I'm going to feel this emotion 100 times if I have to, just so that I can feel it so many times that I can bring it up whenever I want. Now they're becoming familiar with a new state of being, right? And when you feel the emotion of your future before it happens, you'll always believe in that future.
Wow.
And if you feel the emotion that keeps you connecting to your past, you'll believe in your past. And that's just the way it is. And then you return back to the same self, your same biology, thinking the same thoughts, making the same choices, doing the same things, creating the same experiences, feeling the same emotions. In your biology, your neurocircuitry, your neurochemistry, your hormones, your gene expression all stays the same because you just return back to the same. Okay, so we said 7 days, taking a group of people, is what I said to the scientists at University of California, San Diego. 7 days. The biology stays the same, this, and they all agreed. I said, give people new information. Combine quantum physics with neuroscience, with neuroendocrinology, with psychoneuroimmunology, with epigenetics, with electromagnetism. Build models of understanding. Get people to learn new information. They're going to have new thoughts. Now give them the instruction so they can make a new choice. They can do a new thing. They can create a new experience. They can feel a new emotion. Will their biology change in 7 days? Lo and behold, it changed way greater than we ever expected.
Wow.
Novice meditators. People who never came to a week-long event, never really meditated that much. The novice meditators. 7 days, their biology at the end of 7 days looked like they were living in a whole new life. And it wasn't, you know, 20% or 10%. It was the majority of the collective.
Hmm.
Now, all of those people have different genomes, different genotypes. And they're all different cultures, different races, different ages. But when we look at the biology of gene expression, they're signaling the same genes. They're making the same proteins, the collective, the herd, the flock, the school of fish. Their biology, there's an emergent biology that's changing collectively. The probability of that happening is insanely minimal. Let me just say that. So then, think differently, make a different choice, do a different thing, create a new experience, feel a new emotion, keep doing that, your biology will change. And that's exactly how people heal. So the emotions that keep us, I would say, in our more limited animal, mammalian, human state have everything to do with anger and aggression, fear and anxiety and suffering and pain and guilt and shame and, you know, our
resentment.
All of those are... Think as energy as emotion. So those emotions should ultimately be retired as wisdom, because the memory without the emotional charge is wisdom. And now the game is over, and you're ready for a new experience. And you can't go to the future holding on to the emotion of the past, right? So you got to overcome that emotional state. So then,
wow,
you start feeling gratitude, you start feeling more gratitude, you start feeling love, you start feeling more love, you start feeling kindness, you start feeling care, you start feeling appreciation, you start feeling creative, you start feeling inspired, you practice feeling those emotions, and you get that heart of yours back into balance. We discovered that once energy makes it to the heart, it's going right to the brain, and it's going to go straight up, and it's going to tell the brain, in that moment, the heart is the creative center. It's safe to create. And the person moves out of survival, and the brain, like grabbing a big sheet and going like that, creates a wave of energy right to the brain, coherent energy of the brain, and the brain goes into a creative alpha state, and the brain is getting information. The heart is informing the brain, think of something new, think of a new possibility. It's a creative state. And the person starts seeing pictures and images. Well, keep sustaining that relaxed in your heart and awake in your brain. We see how long people can hang with that. We got the brain and heart hooked up together. And then here it comes. You start seeing resonance taking place. There's waves, riding waves, and faster waves building on waves. So delta, the base, is carrying theta, but it's a harmonic, and theta is carrying alpha, and alpha is carrying beta, and beta is carrying high beta, and high beta is going in the gamma. And then when that occurs, the person is feeling ecstasy. There's an arousal, an arousal taking place in the nervous system, but the arousal isn't fear.
Like it's not fear.
It's not fear. It's not anger. It's not pain. That's typically what creates an arousal. The arousal is ecstasy. So the person is feeling wholeness. They're feeling connected.
Mm.
They're feeling aware. They're super conscious. The brain is no longer in discoherence. The brain is in resonance. There's waves carrying waves. There's harmonics. There's order within order. There's patterns within patterns, nested observer windows. The brain is functioning mathematically. And so you see that happening. And you ask the person from their subjective experience, how did that feel? They say, I felt so whole. I felt such bliss. I felt such connection. I felt such pure love. I no longer wanted anything. It's impossible to want when you're in that state.
No desires for something, because you're not in lack.
You're in wholeness, the exact opposite. And that's the place to create from.
Right.
Not from lack, because lack means I'm going to wait for that thing to happen out there to take away the lack or separation from not having it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is like your body's believing it's already in that future. And that's exactly what we discovered at the end of 7 days.
Mm.
People move into that state and they're making thousands of metabolites. Information is in their blood at the end of 7 days that wasn't there before, and they're not taking any exogenous substance. They're not changing their diet. It's coming from within them. So then the person who starts feeling wholeness, it gets very difficult to describe those emotions. It's inevitable. I mean, we ask people, what was it? And they just well up in tears and they say, I don't know. It's the most familiar, unfamiliar feeling I've ever had. Like I'm remembering what I forgot. Like I forgot that I'm this. I am pure love. I am this, you know? And I think when we have those experiences, at least when I've had those experiences, I think the takeaway is that it didn't come from out there, from anyone or anything. It came from within me. And I think that's the real fundamental moment where people stop looking outside of them. It's always been within them. And that relationship that they develop, okay, yeah, we all take hard knocks during our lives and we all have stressors in our life and we're all trying to do as much as we can and, you know, walk the tightrope. But a person who every single day says, I'm not going to get up from my meditation until I absolutely feel like I'm that person. Man, it's a very different game, because people say, why do you do your meditations in the morning? I say, because if I can overcome me, the rest of my day is easy.
So, you know, on the path that I've kind of chosen, you know, it's been interesting living in this atmosphere that is so kind of inundated with that vibe, but then trying to see through it and honor yourself and do what's good for you, what's healthy for you and your family. A son helps.
Yeah.
Kids help.
Keeps you grounded.
It keeps you grounded and humble, because they don't really care
who you are,
how cute you look,
what roles you got or whatever.
You know what I mean? You can have really fresh Jordans and a nice ride, but if they have a...
If you're not feeding them,
they have a fit in the middle of Whole Foods, they don't really give a...
So, exactly.
So that's cool. So they help. But you know, I'll be in the movie theater and I'll be looking at the next Anthony Mackie. Oh, he's another one too. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. Anthony Mackie film. And then I'll have that little twinge of, oh, should I be on this poster? And are people thinking I'm not relevant because I'm on a TV show? And but then I have to tell myself I'm happy. You know, and would I be happy being the next, you know, Black Spider-Man or whatever? Maybe, but that's months away from the kid and my bones, my knees. I don't know if I can be do all those stunts.
Right.
You know, it's a young man's game. So and you know, it's tough to do all that and then try to give back. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For me.
Yeah.
So you know, that's probably the struggle, because there's still that young Tay Diggs, that fighter. You know, the flame, you know, in my eye that still wants to, you know, I still want to get an Oscar. I still, you know, love the publicity and whatnot. So I guess that's probably the biggest challenge, just keeping myself grounded, realizing what is real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because if you let that stuff take you over,
the hype,
it will take you over.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
It's unfulfilling probably after.
Yeah, man. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, my son, he fulfills me. Do you know what I mean? You know, reading, it sounds so corny, but, you know, being the lead of a movie is great. But you know, when you read to children and you're affecting lives like that, you know, that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, kids, like if I had written, you know, Where the Wild Things Are, do you know what I mean?
It's a legacy right there.
You know what I mean? That doesn't go away. People will forget if I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter how much the opening weekend is, people forget real quick, too quick. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Especially if you haven't done anything in 2-3 years.
You know
years,
what I mean? It's it's really not fair.
Yeah.
It's really not fair, especially, you know, as an African-American actor. People are making history, and it's just getting overlooked. Do you know what I mean? I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's the biggest fear for you moving forward in life and your career?
Oh, it's just my son's health. You know, when you have a child, it's the most vulnerable thing. It's crazy. So, you know, I just try to put that out of my head and just stay positive, because if I think about what my life would be without him, or if something awful happened to him, I don't even know.
Right.
So that's an easy question to answer. Yeah.
Because you really don't have control for something like a child.
I mean, I'm choosing to believe I do.
Sure, right.
I'm willing it. So, but at the end of the day, you know, so. I just try to stay positive and keep him in my prayers.
I hear you.
Yeah.
You're around a lot of actors all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like self-love is something that actors need more of?
100%. Like I think the world needs more of it.
Yeah.
100%.
What do you think, how do you practice self-love yourself, and how would you give back to people listening who are maybe struggling or trying to figure out, you know, their worth in the world, whether it be in a relationship, career, anything? What's some ways you can practice what's not building your ego too much, but it's like the fulfilling self-love, you know?
Sure. I think it manifests itself differently in different people. Like for me, with talent, you know, I didn't have an issue because people were always there telling me how that I had something. You know, it had to deal with, for me, deserving the pretty girl or deserving to be in a conversation, you know. I think at the end of the day, it's tough, man. It's one of the hardest, I think it could be one of the hardest things to do, which is just convince yourself that you are worth it, just you who you are, not comparing yourself or putting yourself in a context. Because it's so easy to say, am I as intelligent as this person? And then looking at what you have, you know, to offer in terms of intelligence, because it's not about that, because that can easily be taken away, or you cannot have it. So you have to find who you are as a person, regardless of everything else and everyone else around you, and just be cool with that. And let that power you so that no matter how great, how handsome, how talented, no matter how whatever it is you are, you consider yourself more than enough.
Yeah.
And in this world that's based on all of that other shit, it's really tough to do. Because we're here, and the first thing we ask ourselves is, you know, what do I have to offer? What makes me different? What makes me special? So that's where I think the difficulty comes in.
Do you have a practice that you do like every morning to help you get ready for the day, man, or a ritual or routine?
I'm trying. Yes, I do. It just changes every 3 days. You know what I mean? Because I'm still on that tip of what works. So if I like meditate for 20 minutes and then I have a great day for the next week, I'll meditate.
Yeah.
And then until I have a sucky day, and then I'll try something else.
Sure.
But, you know, it's tough to not be result oriented, you know, growing up an actor and dealing with sports. And but for me, it's having a practice and something that kind of forces you to be outside yourself and realize that there's something more. I think whatever that is, I feel like you're pretty good if you can focus on that.
Yeah.
That being one of the things. You know, and then afterwards, then actually focusing on yourself, so that you can allow yourself to focus more on other people. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's tough, man.
Yeah,
it's tough. This cycle of life is the most difficult, just because I'm the most aware. And at the same time, you know, with a being split and a divorce and a single father, you know, I have the most, I've got a full plate. So every once in a while, I'll feel sorry for myself, just because I just feel like I'm working constantly, trying to be a good person, trying to be a good father, trying to take the high road, you know, trying to be more mindful, trying to be more forgiving. And sometimes I want to say, sometimes I do. I just came from Vegas.
You set up that whole weekend.
And that was pretty unmindful. And
Sure.
You know what I mean? I can't wait till I get to the point where, you know, I don't have to binge, you know, where I can just, it can just be life. And that can just be where I chill out, as opposed to kind of winding it up. Yeah. And then feeling like I have to unwind, to the point where it's, you know, alcohol and girls and dancing and clubs. And, you know, I still got a little bit of that in me.
So you got the young Taye Diggs in you. Yeah.
You know, because I never, it's so many things. I never got to do that as a young man. You know, I grew up really, really religious, and then came into success quick, and then got married quick.
Working all the time, just focused.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then was really judgmental with, you know, these people, you're a bad person if you do this. And slowly I started to open up my eyes and started to experiment with stuff. And, you know, clubs are fun. Drinking can be fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Girls can be fun. So, you know, I'm coming off that train now. But every once in a while, it's still fun to just go a little crazy.
Sure. What are non-negotiables for you? Like every day that you're like, I have to do this every day no matter what, or I'm going to, maybe it's not meditate, but I'm going to eat a certain way. I'm going to think a certain thing. I'm going
It's one of those things. It's either working out. Well, you know what, to be honest, it's I force myself to think of others and kind of walk a path of trying to love. Do you know what I mean? As corny as that sounds, trying empathy. Do you know what I mean? Empathy is what it is. Every day I'm forcing myself to try to see if somebody rubs me the wrong way, if somebody does something, whether it be to me or to someone else, or if someone comes to me and asks some advice, you know, I force myself to try, you know, to say something that will kind of throw a positive spin on something, and not go the negative route.
Yeah.
You know, I feel good about that. I feel good about myself. Yeah. When it comes to that, that's something that I'm pretty diligent in, I think, doing.
Hmm. There's a lot of young actors and people, writers, people in the entertainment world that I know listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
If you could say that there's like the mistakes that a lot of actors make and the things that they do well, what would be like the top two or three things that you think, if you're a young actor, writer, trying to make it in this world, what should they really be focusing on? What is holding them back that you see?
You know what? I was thinking of writing a book. that, you know, was kind of grounded in humor that has to do with what is going to be like the, you know, the actor's handbook to becoming famous.
Mm.
Because it's a cliche, you know, right. It's like there's a young person that's got all this talent. You know, maybe they start out doing plays, then they do a play, they win an award, then they get the card to come to Hollywood. You know, then they do the whole Hollywood thing and it really, you know, chews them up. They date a celebrity lady, get married, the drugs, the strip clubs, the this, the that, and then they fall out, go to rehab, mm-hmm. and then pick this role, and then they get nominated for an Oscar. And then, so part of me thinks that it's pretty, you know, you just need to stay grounded and to keep focused and to kind of not fall prey. Have someone have your back. Do you know what I mean? But then, you know, you don't get, you know, sometimes I think you need to get roughed up. You need you need experiences so that things mean something, you know, like all the shit that I've been through it. So now I know.
Yeah.
For a minute, I was living a great life. I thought I was, you know, a good person and kind, but I didn't know. You know what I mean? I didn't know what people meant. I didn't know what it was like to struggle to a certain extent. And until I did, you know, the world didn't open up. You know, you need experiences no matter what. I'm not telling everybody to get addicted to drugs and spend $100,000, you know, at a strip club. But, you know, everybody has their own kind of path. I don't want people to end up killing themselves, but I think it's good that people, you know, experience some friction.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That they should just be constantly going out, putting themselves out to bigger roles or bigger opportunities and failing essentially or getting said no to?
I think people should follow their instincts.
Hmm.
You know, I truly do. I mean, I could sit here and say, you know, be focused and stay out of trouble and, you know, I think at a young age, if people can realize that there's something outside of themselves, that there's a greater energy, you know, I don't think you can go wrong there. But, you know, people living their lives and having their own experiences, I think it's, you know, it bodes well for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being selfish, you know, all of that. You know, thinking of others. You know what I mean? Do you? But think of others and just go for it. Go hard.
Mm, yeah. Tiff wanted me to ask you a question, and she said, "What was it like to work with
I'm not answering Tiffany. You know Tiffany? She don't know me.
in private practice, you worked with Shonda Rhimes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she's a big fan of her. She's reading her book right now.
Oh, are you? Me too.
So she wanted to know.
There's something about yes or something. What is it? The year of yes.
Yeah. So she wanted to know what was it like working with her. It's a big inspiration for her in the entertainment world.
Oh, man. Well, that was when... I had my kid when I was on her show. Mm-hmm. That was a time in my life, you know, time and time again, I feel like I've been blessed. And then, you know, the thing about this, being human, being an actor, being in LA, really, really amazing things can happen to you. And then you can forget and then have fear and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, actors have we have the shortest just memories. You know, things can be so, so bad. You know, and then we can say, all I need is this job. And, you know, once I get this gig and once I get this card, I'll be fine. Then we get the gig in the car and we're just complaining about what it's like to be in that car and in that gig.
Really?
We forget. Oh, man. I mean, actors are awful. We're awful people.
Okay.
We're so, you know, we want for free. And
right.
If the car's not here at the minute and the cable's not, I mean, you know, if I'm not on this like magazine color and, oh, dude. And we come from nothing, you know? So
right.
It's not, you would think we would be the most appreciative group on the planet. And instead, it's the opposite.
You're getting the most attention.
Oh,
you're
totally.
Getting the most recognition.
You know what I mean? On the red carpet, just frowning because somebody else, you know, went before you.
Really?
When you just got dropped off in your limo or the car doesn't come on time.
You're wearing a $10,000 outfit.
You know what I mean? Totally. Yeah. I'm sitting here next to Sandra Bullock. I was supposed to be before her.
Oh, my God.
Like, come on, man. But you get caught up in it.
Yeah.
See, I got caught up in that. What was the question? Oh,
Shonda Rhimes. Yeah, yeah.
So I was on a gig where I was like, all right, this next thing I want to shoot a gun. So I was on a show where I was shooting a gun and then, you know, doing stunts and being the tough guy. And so that ended. And then I thought to myself, oh, you know what? I would love to be on a show like Grey's Anatomy.
Mm.
You know, Shonda Rhimes. I could just, you know, really act and have those amazing monologues and wear a suit. And the next thing I know, she called me in and she's like, there was this new show I'm creating with Kate Walsh, and it's a spinoff. And I was like, this is a dream come true.
Wow.
You know, you really can manifest some stuff. And she was just wonderful.
Wow.
I don't know how I can only assume that everybody else had the experience that I had, but I don't know if it was because I was black or, you know, a young man, but I really felt like she was looking out for me.
Wow.
You know, we'd have, you know, meetings about the character and I could tell that she was very protective of the character I played.
Hmm.
And you know, unfortunately in this time, in this era, when it comes to African-American roles, you have to set a precedent. Just so you don't have to, but if you want to make a difference, you need to set down some ground rules so that people don't get it twisted. So with that character, you could look at my character as, you know, a professional black man and, you know, okay, not all black people take drugs. Not all black people not all black people are irresponsible.
Gangs or whatever.
She didn't make him, like, he was just a good dude through and through. So that that character was there and you couldn't do anything about it. And that was proof that black people like this exist.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that. She's a monster, man. She's just killing it.
Right.
And it's just so exciting. It just tickles me. So
big lesson you learned from her working with her? What was that?
To go for it. You know, somebody, I don't know, she's just did it. You know, she had the audacity, you know, to think that she could do and she's doing it. So
executive producing like 5 or 10 shows.
Why not?
Shows on TV or whatever, right?
If you would have told me that somebody was going to do that, I would have laughed in your face and said, why don't you just chill with one?
Right.
Like, be cool. Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What makes you think that they're going to open the door for you? And she was like, I'm kicking this door down, and I'm going to be really good at it.
Wow.
You know, so
amazing. It's,
yeah, it really is.
That's really cool.
I mean, this is. I didn't think. I knew stuff like this was going to go down, but I didn't think it would happen this fast with, you know, a black president, and then people right. like Shonda Rhimes just, and people have just gone so far beyond, you know, mm-hmm. my expectations. You know, my mother used to say, make sure you can do everything better than they can, whoever it is. And all of these people, I think, you know, came from that school where it's like, you be so great that they cannot deny you.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who are in those situations that are struggling to choose happiness because it just feels like there's so much chaos in their life?
Well, first of all, I acknowledge the chaos. And I think it's important that we don't give some false perception that when life is hard, that we can't acknowledge that it is hard. I have been there. Like, I remember when I got out of depression, I had a suicide attempt, and then I became a father of two quickly. Of you know, my kids were 10 and 7, and I did not know how to parent. I didn't have no money. I was choosing whether I gave my kids gave my kids lunch money or putting gas in my car, and things were difficult. The relationship that I was in was bad. It was unhealthy. And so I understand all of that list you just said. And back then, I didn't choose happiness because, of course, like you just expressed, you don't know how. You know, when there is darkness around you, it is very difficult to see it. And I acknowledge that. And so I don't want somebody to feel alone and being like, well, maybe I'm just, because you'll end up getting into a cycle of being harder on yourself. And you start beating yourself up because the world is beating you up. And in that moment, what I did is realize I get to say that this is the world. This is the world that the circumstances I was born into or situations that I found myself in because of choices I didn't know. The first way I used to choose happiness is I used to say something. There was a song, and I wish I could remember the artist's name. She'd say, I'm a young soul, I came to this strange. You know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the lyrics, but I know.
Yeah, I don't remember who that was. But I used to give myself some grace, and I would say, you're a young soul. You don't know. You didn't know. And that one statement that came from that song gave me just a bit to see that I could choose happiness because of the fact that I realized I didn't know this all. So now I'm a young soul. I didn't know it. So, okay. So these things are happening. What can I learn from each of them? And when I say, what can I learn from each of them, was my next step of saying, learning is me choosing happiness in this moment. So I think we have to understand how to define happiness in our darkest moments or redefine happiness so that way you can then feel better. Because learning for me, acknowledging that I was a young soul and I wasn't supposed to know everything, was made me just a little happiness. It was a redefinition. Me then deciding to learn how to, I remember the first book I got on how to be a better parent, I was like, I'm so happy right now because I'm taking a step to learn.
Yes. You're getting a tool.
I'm getting a tool. Mm. Like back to that little triangle. Yeah. I'm getting a tool. And that tool for me made me happy.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
So I just spent the next couple of years of redefining over and over again what happiness looked like in the moment I was in. And I think if more people can do that, instead of looking at happiness is supposed to be on the beach, happiness is, you know, smiling kids. I don't know what happiness is supposed to be for you, because like some days I'm like, okay, these kids just got out of school, went to school on time. You know, like I didn't get a call from a teacher. I am happy. Like I redefine happiness to that milestone. And then later on, I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm working on my career and I'm doing this. And then I redefine happiness again. So I think the redefining happiness for you and wherever you are is going to be a helpful tool of, like you said, practicing that gratitude and recognizing happiness.
Speaking about your kids, what's been the greatest lesson that your kids have taught you?
They don't teach me anything. No, I'm joking. It's a million things they teach me. My son's making me a better communicator. Mm. My kids are the best mirror for me if I allow it. And that's a big thing, because a lot of parents don't allow it. They don't allow their kids to be the mirrors that they need. And it wasn't even sometimes with the words they said. You know, I worked in social services for many years, and I remember just coming home and being impatient because I was so stressed from work, and my kids' problems just seemed so small. And there's nothing like being like, you know what, just you, look at all you have. Be happy for what you have. Saying that to a child and them looking at you like, what did I do? That you learn really quickly, like, wow, I'm being impatient to your young life. Yeah, of course, you don't know what's going on in the world. So this is your world.
And they're a young soul.
Yeah, you're a young soul. This is your world. And you're in your world. This is a big problem for you. And so I have to have empathy towards that.
It may not be a problem for you because you overcame it 20 years prior.
In 20 years prior. And so with them, they just taught me like be introspective in that way. Like, you know, I watched this YouTube video today where this guy was in a mall and he was being interviewed by some YouTuber or, you know, TikToker, and someone walked past them in the camera. And the guy who was interviewing said, look at this. Look, he just walked. He walked past us while we're filming. And the other guy speaking to him said, well, maybe we don't look at it as he's being malicious. Maybe he's in his head because something just happened. And maybe like we have to just understand that like he's a human being going through a lot of stuff. And maybe he's just unaware. Like many of us are unaware as we walk through this world. And it's like, wow. And my kids did that for me. The same perspective he gave, my kids gave me that to me. So when I'm talking to someone, I always stop myself and I say, they're going through their own stuff. So right now, I need to be empathetic to where they're at. And I'm not going to be impatient because they're not growing at the pace that I want them to grow at. Or I'm not going to have this expectation of where they should be or what they should know because I assume that they should know it. And my kids definitely taught me that. And that came from me just looking at how I reacted to them, realizing that I need to react better to them and I need to react better to the world around me.
Wow. One of the big challenges I see a lot of people face with is figuring out relationships in general, but typically intimate relationships.
Yeah.
And I know you coach a lot of people on your talk show and also on Queer Eye. You guys work with people in their relationships, in their intimacy, and how to really become better human beings. Why do you think people struggle so much in intimacy? And I know you and I have struggled in our past.
We talked about it beforehand. Yeah.
But why do you think it's so challenging just for a lot of people to create like harmony, peace in a relationship, not a perfection?
Well, most people don't have the models of it. And the models we're given, you know, is so dated. I mean, like people have said this a million times over, but like, think about it, as kids, you know, as much as I love the new Disney movie, Halle Bailey is just killing it. I'm like, the first motto we gave to little girls was like, give up your voice for a man, you know, like we like drop a shoe behind, you know what I mean? Like, I remember the first time I went to a guy's house and I left something behind. It was like, that's toxic. And I did that because, you know, Cinderella told me, girl, you leave a shoe behind, he gonna come find you. He's gonna invite you back. And it's not true.
Or
it's
Beauty and the Beast, let me make you a prisoner.
Let me make you a prisoner.
Let me abuse you.
And
then have you fall in love with me.
Fall in love with me. I mean, come on. And so we don't, most of us don't have the right models. We never got them. We might not have seen it in our home. And if we did see it in our home where it was really healthy, most of the times our parents didn't really tell us the struggles, because every relationship has issues. And the ones that are perfect, if stay together for 40 years, 50 years, usually aren't as transparent as they need to be about the struggles they had. I remember Michelle Obama, you know, a couple months back got in trouble because she had said she'd been with Barack for 30 years and 10 of them were bad. And she said, I'll take those odds. And a lot of people were like, what, you're taking 10 odds? And she wasn't saying 10 consecutive years of like, I'm being abused. She was saying within that, there are a lot of times that you have to work a little bit harder and you have to communicate a little bit better. And I think most of us don't have the models. So for me, what I've started doing now to have healthy relationships is from date one. And this is a cute thing you should do.
Day one.
I say to my partner, the five things, or the person I'm talking to, the five things that I think I need in this moment to have a healthy relationship. And I ask them, what are the five things they need?
What are those five things for you?
Oh, I need communication. I need sensitivity/empathy. I need adventure. I need sexuality and sensuality. I need a lot of that. And I need a lot of vulnerability, which is different than the sensitivity empathy for me. And those things right there, it's like, let's just get this out the way. Do you understand what those five things mean? And if you don't, I can give you some time to explain what those things are. So when I say I need adventure, it doesn't mean that we need to be jumping out of planes every weekend, but it does mean at least once a month, we need to be a priority and we need to find something that's out of our everyday life to do together. Because I don't ever want to get into a routine with you. When I say that I need communication, that means that in the hardest moments of our life, I need to know that you're not going to walk away, that you're going to talk to me. It doesn't mean that I can't give you space to cool off or to, you know, get your time. But even that is a little bit of a deeper conversation of like, what is that space and time? And I think too many people go through the happiness and the joy and like, oh, the excitement and the endorphins of it all. And then when those moments come, you have no baseline to say, well, I told you these were what I needed.
Right.
And I don't know what you need either, because you never told me. What are the things that are important to you? Because I think the more you can be honest and transparent about what you need and not being like, well, I need somebody who's like, you know, money and I need, like, no. Like, because it's really more of that emotional and mental thing that you need, that in the hardest moments is going to what's going to make you or break you.
Yes.
Can you be sensitive to me being sensitive? That's a big thing for me, because I'm a Scorpio and I'm sensitive as hell. You say the wrong thing and I'm like, hold on. I'm over it, you know, right now. And like, I'm like, hold on, do I strike back or do I go into like cry right now? I don't know. And so can you be sensitive to that? Is that too much for you? And I think that if more people could have those conversations from day one to create a foundation and understand that those things could change and you got to check back in on those things.
Yeah.
Because in 3 years, that might not be what I need anymore. And it might not be your list line that be what you need. But are you really having those conversations? And if you're already deep into a relationship and you see that there's areas that, you know, you need to work on, go back to the basics and say, what are the five things you need? What are the five things that you need that are going to make you feel? Because like sensuality and that stuff for me, a lot of people get older and or even young relationships and it starts to become not a priority for one partner or for both. And that could break people up.
Right.
Or make them start to cheat. So we have to come back together and re-engage. Like, what is the level of sexual intimacy that you need so we stay connected?
Yeah. So you come to these five things day one. That's what you did with your current partner.
Day one.
Now,
I told you the day me and my partner met, I thought it was a booty call.
Yeah.
And then we spent 8 hours together, not even a single drip talking. And that was on the list of things we talked
about. That was one of the things you talked about.
He showed me his bank account on that first night.
Wait, the number to log in or how much he had in the bank account?
He showed me his bank account.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't something that was like, I'm showing off. It was, we were having a conversation about financial stability.
I think that's so important to talk about all the, maybe it's not day one for everyone in every like dating experience, but I think it is so important.
Why can't it be day one? Let's have our conversation. Why can't it be?
I agree, because this is what I did with Martha, my girlfriend. Uh-huh. The first day we had a lot of these conversations. And one of the things that we talked about was priorities. This wasn't day one, but this was pretty quick within our dating experience before we got committed and exclusive. She was like, what are your priorities in life?
Yeah.
The old priorities question that every man gets eventually, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, are you sure you want to hear the truth?
Yeah.
Because in the past, I felt like I had to skirt around the truth because there would be triggers or fear or reactions. I said, are you sure you want to hear it? She said, yes. I go, you may not like what I'm about to say. And you may not want to hang out with me anymore. So just be aware, you're asking for this.
Yeah.
She said, what is it? And I said, my number one priority is not you if we get into this committed relationship. And no woman wants to hear, or no other partner wants to hear, you're not number one. Mm. Now, there's context around this.
Yes, of course.
My number one priority is my health, my spiritual, emotional, physical health.
Yes.
Because if I have bad health, I'm not going to be good for you. So for me, that's why my health is my top priority, so that I can be of service to my number two priority, which is still not you. Doesn't mean you're not a top priority, but the number two priority at this season of my life is my mission, my purpose, what I feel like I'm called to do at this season.
Yes.
And that is what I'm up to currently. And it doesn't mean I'm going to neglect you, I'm not going to have time for you, but you need to make sure that you don't pull me from my mission, that you support me and elevate me in being of service to my mission, because it's important to me. Yeah. And if I feel like I'm pulled from it, then I'm probably going to resent the relationship. Mm-hmm. But if you are a full alignment that my number one and number two priorities and what they are, you're going to feel like the biggest priority in the world. You're going to feel like number one. You're going to be have more time for me than ever before. You're going to get the best of me, and you're going to have everything you want.
Let me tell you something. This is why I was listening to you every morning for a year.
Let me tell you something. You ever been to a black church? Can you come to a black church and come and drop this knowledge? Because you just, the pastor just came out in you. That is amazing. But I think,
good job.
But I think, you know, either I was attracting certain people or that weren't able to hear it with the context.
Yes.
Again, most people don't want to hear, I'm entering a relationship and you're not going to be my number one or two priority. But it's, again, building the context around it. Make sure that you support me in going to the gym, doing therapy, doing things to support my growth. You support me in my mission. You push me to go do it. And I'm going to give you all of me.
So we are in line to what we're doing. We immediately told our partners what we need. And then there from there, it starts to expand. I would tell you to stop prefacing with, you might not like this.
Right.
Because that you're already setting them up for something that you're unconsciously telling them. And it's like, they should like this. And they should then learn from it. Oh, of course, that's why you're together.
Right away, she goes, yes. She told me like, yes. Because she goes, every person I've been with didn't have a purpose. Mm. Maybe they had some skill or something they were doing, but they didn't love it.
Yeah.
They weren't fully invested in their mission in life. And they made her their purpose. This is what she told me. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, you're my purpose. She was like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want you to go do your thing, and then we can do things together.
Together. Amen.
And so, you know, she was on a healing journey, so she was more conscious in that way, that she wasn't insecure if her partner was out in the world doing their thing. Mm-hmm. So, but I think having those conversations like we did early on, for me, has set me up for a lot more peace and harmony.
Yeah.
Again, there's misunderstandings, and we got to go through stuff all the time, but it's harmonious in those misunderstandings.
I might have to go reevaluate my list, because I'm going to have to tell Carlos.
My new number one, Carlos, is me. I'm too codependent for that. It's not happening.
And it's not about like me.
I'm messing with you. But no, I joke because I actually think it's beautiful. And I think it's something that should be taught more. And I think I unconsciously know how to do that already. Right. But I think the language that you provide in that is what is why I just said amen. That more people need to hear that is because that is such a powerful thing to be able to admit to someone else that my health and who I am is a priority. And I think it's beautiful because it just sets the tone. And you and I now are in a healthy relationship. You know, we're both praying that we continue to grow with this person, the people that we're with, but at least it's healthy where we're at because of the fact that we made the choice to be honest and direct about what our foundation is.
Absolutely.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's episode with all the important links. And if you want weekly exclusive bonus episodes with me personally, as well as ad-free listening, then make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel exclusively on Apple Podcasts. Share this with a friend on social media and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Let me know what you enjoyed about this episode in that review. I really love hearing feedback from you, and it helps us figure out how we can support and serve you moving forward. And I want to remind you, if no one has told you lately, that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.